This is CliffCentral.com.
A little bit of Gwen Stefani for you Friday morning. CliffCentral.com. We have Sia, we have Leanne, we have you. That's all that matters. Just about 7 o'clock, we got George Meany popping by a little later on with Auto Trader. He's going to tell us about what's going on in the world of motoring. And we'll do a little test with the hot cross buns. Because I have bought...
the alcohol thing.
We're going to get drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, we're going to eat hot cross buns and see if it pushes up the blood alcohol level in this little machine. This umshini.
Yeah. It's got something to do with the raisins and the yeast.
Yes.
Is this the part of the conversation where we also ask why you just casually have a breathalyzer?
No, someone gave it to me when they were busy kind of launching those tests and trying to figure out what... whether they were accurate or not, someone gave it to me.
Yeah,
just kept it.
It's a nice like, thing not? To have before you hit the road.
Have you ever used it? Yeah, in that scenario.
I've never used it in a serious sense. I've used it like as a joke, either at a party where everybody is way over the limit, then I go like, "Let's see who's the drunkest," and then everybody blows it, and you like see someone with like a 5.0, and you're like, "Jesus, what? How are you still standing?"
So wait, what's the limit again?
I don't know. We'll check just now.
Google will help us.
Yeah.
All right, but before we get to that, Cardi B, who you know is the girl I never had,
that the I one really that got
wanted,
away.
Yeah, the one that got away. She just addressed her critics and said, "Y'all want to look at my pussy so bad, y'all should have went to see me when I was a motherfucking stripper."
Okay.
So especially for Friday, here's Cardi B, who's one of the most famous and successful women in the world. And she's in a video, and she's about to show everybody the detail up close of her genitalia.
Oh, right, my word.
This is great. So here's Cardi.
Y'all motherfuckers going around showing this fucking picture. Now y'all photoshopping it even more. Like, oh, Cardi pussy, Cardi pussy. First of all, that ain't my pussy. My pussy right here. This is where I birthed my daughter from. This right here, the part that shows, you know, when I go like this, that's just
Explain
my
Explain what she's doing.
She's in a stripper pose. I've seen this in strip clubs before. She's standing with her left leg on the floor, and she has put her right leg bent up on a surface. And she's wearing high heels, I think.
And no panties.
Oh. And she's bearing, she's giving us a side view.
Side lippage.
Or like this. That's just my ass. You know when you got a fat ass? That shit gets fat right there. This part right here, this is the part that gives the dick comfort. You know what I'm saying? There's
no,
the part that like when you go like this in and out, that's what this nigga feel. That's my ass. You know what I'm saying? Y'all wanna look at my pussy so bad, y'all should've went see me when I was a motherfucking stripper and I was promoting myself like come see me. Now too bad.
She is
not
just
too bad.
She's
so
much.
Great. I love her. She's so awesome.
Oh my
just tell
word.
Her like it is, baby.
I don't have any words for that.
Oh, come on.
That's not my forte. But according to the psychic earlier this week, it is.
All right, so someone says the second button says medical details. The second button? What is that? Second button.
Oh, this is from part one when we were discussing how to access your emergency contacts.
So what is that the plus button or the minus button or both or...
Trust me to have these paranoid thoughts, but I was thinking of the worst case scenario. I thought, what if you're really, it's unfortunate, but it happens. What if your arm is decapitated?
You mean your arm? No, only your head can be decapitated.
Your arm is amputated,
yes.
In an accident and halfway down the road, and they now need to get into your phone. How do they do that?
What, you mean if it's a fingerprint ID?
Uh-huh.
Oh, maybe it's got face recognition.
Ooh.
But they don't need that. That's the point. Is you can, there's a way, and I don't know, I've done it by mistake once or twice.
Oh.
Where you can make your phone suddenly tell you all the emergency details, but now I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Sorry.
Well, within the family, we actually were having this conversation and we found this amazing app that one can download onto their phone, and it gives so much information, and I would actually recommend it. It's called Life 360. You can link up and create a circle of people, and through just your normal navigation here and geotagging, it can always follow where you are.
Okay.
So heaven forbid you were to pass out somewhere.
Yeah, because all three of us and lots of people live alone.
Yeah.
and you don't know whether you're getting home safely or not, and people worry about you, and what if they only find out that you're missing the next day?
It gives you an update on the person's battery percentage as well. So perhaps someone is driving home and their phone dies in the process.
Sounds also like it could be used as a very dangerous tool by a jealous ex or someone like that.
So my sister and I actually did raise this up as well.
When on the lock screen, just swipe, then click emergency call. Then a list of ICE numbers appears.
On the lock screen.
Okay, so there's obviously different for different phones, but let's just try this. So on the lock screen, you just swipe.
I can't lock my screen.
Swipe which way?
I don't know. That's the problem. You could swipe up and you could swipe down. And
no.
I don't know how to do this. Someone help me, please. Mr. Schmangel says, a friend of mine donated her body to the University of Western Australia when she dies for medical research. Well, she's not doing a great job looking after it. Which I told her, she drinks like a sailor. Her liver's going to be useless.
I think they can use my corneas. That's about it.
Rob says if you press the lock button multiple times, it'll eventually come. Here we are. Okay. So here we go. So it comes onto the screen. Thank you, Rob. You're a genius. So if you click the lock button multiple times, then emergency SOS comes up, right?
Oh, no, but we're calling
And then you're calling an emergency number. So that's one way to do it. But hang on. There's also all those ICE numbers. Just let me find it. Because this is quite useful. I mean, if you're in an accident or
I give up. Don't worry. Don't find me. It's fine. I'm dead anyway.
No, Leanne just doesn't want to be found. So forget about it. Okay. So apparently on this... No, for some reason it's not coming up.
It's going to annoy me. Google isn't helping as well. Let's all accept that we're going to die.
Oh, you idiots. Okay. You know where you enter your passcode?
Yes.
Go, there's a little emergency thing in the corner. And then you can phone from this phone and see what the number is on another phone, for example.
But Gareth, the situation is you aren't able to do that. How do other people access the people to call?
I give up. I don't know. We need to get someone in who's an expert in this stuff. I give up.
We need what the Bible predicted, and that's that we get chips that can be scanned.
Did the Bible predict that?
Yeah, they said when you get a chip in the back of your neck, that's when the end of the world's coming.
Uh-oh.
That's what Revelation said.
Well, there was a man who fell into a Hawaiian volcano after hopping a safety railing. Can you imagine falling into an active volcano? That must be quite hot.
I think you would die before you even hit the lava because of the heat.
Smoke will kill you first.
So, yeah, this man fell 70 feet into the volcano. It's Hawaii's Kilauea volcano.
Kilauea.
Oh, that's it.
It's called Kilauea, yeah.
That makes so much more sense. Mm-hmm. And that's Hawaii's most active volcano. He crossed a railing on a cliff above the crater and then he slipped. He was trying to get closer to the cliff edge. He lost his footing. Park officials immediately launched a search and rescue operation. I don't know why, but they did. And
Well, search and rescue, they usually try to recover the body. That's, in this case.
But in a volcano, surely it would just...
vaporize.
Anyway, they found him, and he was actually alive.
What?
Can you believe it?
Must have been burnt pretty badly.
He'd been seriously injured, but he was perched on a narrow ledge 70 feet from the cliff edge.
Oh, God.
The call for help came immediately after the man fell, and it took about an hour to extract him from where he fell, and he was flown to a medical center to receive treatment for his injuries. So, they haven't released his name, and they also haven't decided if he will face charges for hopping the railing. They are investigating the incident currently.
Jesus.
The active volcano erupted as recently as a year ago, exactly a year ago in May.
So he survived?
Yeah, he survived. Can you imagine the fear?
My God. Wow. I think falling into a volcano, that has to be a story for your grandchildren. Imagine sitting around the fire one day. Yeah. One of the kids like picks up a thing. Oh, it's hot. You're like, you want to know what hot is?
You don't know what hot
I'll
is.
I'll tell you what
I
happened
to me. I was perched over a ledge.
I almost fell into an active volcano, kid.
Yeah.
Sure. All right.
So, how I survived that tale.
Good story. Then a woman rescued a kitten with two faces.
What?
I mean,
a two-faced kitten.
If one face wasn't cute enough, you know, usually you're freaked out by these things.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
Look, Sia. Sia, look. Look.
It's got the one head.
The middle eye is actually joined, so they
share a middle eye.
It's three eyes, two noses, two mouths.
I'd love a cat like that. Imagine how you freak out your neighbors.
So this cat was rescued in the Eastern Cape.
Okay. How much for it? I'll buy it now.
It's still alive. It was rescued in 2017, December.
Who owns that cat? I want that cat. I love freaks.
Doesn't say the owner's name, but this is Betty B, this little kitty.
It has trinocular vision.
It's called, the condition is called diprosopus, which is also known as craniofacial duplication. It's an extremely rare congenital disorder where parts of the face are duplicated on the head. Cats with this condition are known as Janus cats or Janus. Yeah.
Janus was the month of January is named after Janus of the two faces. Roman mythology believed that Janus had a face on the front and a face on the back, so he could see the year that's just been and see the year that's coming.
Oh,
goodness me. Well, this rare condition
is the first month of the year.
Doesn't occur among only cats, also common in dogs, pigs, and sheep as well. So she was told by vets, the owner, that the cat would need to be put down. But straight away, this woman said, this little kitten's very feisty. I want to give her a chance. She's been thriving.
But you have to feed both mouths.
So both mouths are connected to the stomach. So you could insert a tube in either one.
Gareth.
Like I would have to alternate because I'd feel sorry for the one half.
That is so weird.
So weird, hey?
Mm-mm,
so like there's actually a Facebook page where Betty B has a little Facebook page, and the owner posts regular updates on the kitten's growth.
That's amazing. So the cat actually has a face that looks left and a face that looks right. It's perfect for crossing the road.
Yeah, that's true.
It really is.
I guess that's
the silver lining.
I wonder how it experiences vision.
I mean, it must be very confusing. Very confusing. It's got one brain, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's got one brain.
So it's literally just the features that are duplicated. Uh-huh. And it's one head.
Wow. I want that cat so badly.
You say how much it would freak your neighbors out. Imagine waking up in the middle of the night and you see their glowy, beady eyes. And now it's three eyes. Oh.
Well, Betty B is not the first cat known to have that one.
Yes.
A cat named Frank and Louis lived to be 15 years old.
Yes.
And in 2012, he was named by the Guinness Book of World Records, as the longest surviving Janus cat.
Yes. Love it.
Wow.
Okay. What a great story. I love that they kept this cat alive, that it's there and it's able to live, and the owner was 15 years it could live. You heard the other one lived for that long. Great. I think it's great.
Very
awesome,
nice.
Wonderful, marvelous. All right, let's go to the lines. Good morning. What? No way, you're kidding.
I can't believe it.
I'm so sorry, Chewy. Yeah. No.
Sounds so sad.
So Peter Mayhew died, the guy who played Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I saw this, and please help me and give me some context, Gareth.
He was inside the Chewbacca suit.
Yes. Now, was he held as... was he held in regard as much as Lady with the Big... Two buns.
Leia.
Leia. What's the actress? Fisher. Isla.
Carrie Fisher. What's wrong with you?
Was he as famous as Carrie Fisher? Because I mean, like, did he go on press tours?
Yes, he was inside the Chewbacca suit.
Okay. But I'd feel a bit jealous. Other people have, like, you know, those figurines.
People didn't
and toys.
Recognize him. People didn't, like, walk up to him in the street and go, hey. I mean, some people, real Star Wars geeks who knew what he looked like under the suit would have known. But he was just a tall dude. Because Chewbacca is quite tall. And he's the big woolly thing. You know who Chewbacca is, right? So anyway, I mean, very sad news. Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca in the original Star Wars movie 1977, he died in his sleep. He died peacefully in his sleep. And he actually had a couple of issues with the Star Wars people towards the end, because I think they used a different guy and in the remakes. And
oh.
And he was quite upset by that. But he was old already, so.
But it's not as if, like, his wrinkles are showing underneath a suit. Well, I would also have issues.
But he's old, and he's meant to play a Chewbacca who's younger.
But doesn't does the Chewbacca sense. Run?
It does.
It's not a Chewbacca. That's his name. Oh. He's a Wookiee. That's what he is. He is a Wookiee. His name is Chewbacca.
But it's not as if Chewbacca has to run and jump through hoops and somersault.
No, he's not very agile.
You're being very insensitive on the day of Peter Mayhew's death,
no,
all right?
I'm siding with him. I'd also be pissed off that they didn't cast me.
I'm not talking to you about this anymore. You're clearly disrespectful.
I apologize. Well, talking about being insensitive and how that might lead to some work politics. Here's something that I'm not completely surprised by, actually. There's been a new survey done about the South African workplace and its habits. Over 2,000 people took part in the survey, and the main stat that I find so interesting is that over 70% of people who took part in the survey say, despite the fact that they work in open plan office environments,
yes,
they absolutely hate it.
Mm.
We aren't surprised by this, right?
I did it for 16 years.
70% of the people who took part say that they hate working in office plan working environments.
Open plan.
Open plan, yeah.
What do you think? Because you've now got an office. You used to have open plan, right?
You see, as compared to average people, it's not that it annoys me, but I'm distracted. Now, while I'm working and I see other people talking, then I want to be part of the conversation, or then I see some people sharing a meme, I also want to find out. It distracts me from my work. But people who took part in the survey are actually just talking about how they don't find their colleagues interesting. They don't want to hear what they did over the weekend. They aren't interested in things like that. So,
oh, I can imagine that being the number one irritation, actually. Yeah.
And so they say they don't like things like that. 75% of the respondents actually said that they will only approach their colleagues if it's urgent. Right, otherwise, so they don't care to interact.
There are some people who love open plan offices and who love chatting to each other. Like, I know Dory likes it.
Mm.
Dory, who works here, she's constantly yammering on to everyone around her in the office. She likes it. It's sociable.
Otherwise, some people feel that they'll have a bit of FOMO if they aren't in that situation.
Yeah. And I'll sometimes come into the office too, so there's a small part, a tiny part of me that kind of likes that as well. Mm-hmm. And I used to work in an open plan office when I was, for about a year and a half, when I was like producing shows and doing my own show and all the rest of it at another station. But I really want an office.
I've never had an office besides my own at home. If I've worked somewhere, it's been open plan. So I have decades of experience of working in open plan.
Do you hate it?
Hate it. I just, I get awkward when I just have to breathe in front of people. So it's having to pull out your lunch and everyone goes, why are you having almonds? I'm just like, fuck off, let me eat my lunch.
Well, that's also interesting because people really vented in the survey because weird smells was right up there in a list of major irritations within the workplace. So it was weird smells, inappropriate use of language, and personal phone calls. Part of personal phone calls, actually, was the personal ringtones. Some people just said hearing their colleagues...
Stupid ringtones.
Oh, my word.
Annoys them so much.
Oh, shame. I really feel for everyone who's in open plan. It's horrible.
Shame, man.
Well, you mentioned the food. This is a big part of it, too, is that people open up their little lunchbox. And then, I don't know if you remember from school, but everybody's lunchbox smells a little bit different. Mm. And some of them are not great.
At least they were sandwiches at school. In the workplace, people bring, like, their broccoli shit and put that into the microwave.
In the microwave.
Yeah. It's very hard to figure this stuff out because you have to be in proximity with people.
Mm.
Everybody has to share the space. They have to share the kitchens, they have to share the bathrooms, and now they also have to share the offices. You know, the only place that a few people get, or people get, to be private is the bathroom.
Not even.
Sometimes not.
You can hear the chickaploinks from next door in the cubicle. It's horrible.
That's why I can never have a bowel movement here. No, 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 no. I don't want. No, not going to happen. I never want anyone here to walk into the loo and say, oh, those are Sia's shoes popping out from underneath the door. Then you have the sound and the smell. No, not happening. So 2% of the...
No, you see, I don't mind. I'll poop anyway.
Really? No. I'm all for an experience that will bond us and bring us closer. But no one.
But also, I'm not a person who sits there for hours. I kind of get it done all in one mum and then I'm finished in a few seconds.
No, it's...
You wouldn't even know.
It's definitely... The open plan office is a very interesting thing. And you watch people, it tells you a lot about their personalities, where they choose to sit. A lot of people like to be against a wall. A lot of people like to be in a corner where they cocoon themselves in. Some people who don't mind being right in the middle of everything.
When I had an office with my current business partners, the one had to be with her back against the wall because she would get a fright whenever somebody approached her from behind. So she had to be facing the door with her back against the wall. I had to be facing away from everyone. I had to face the wall. I can't, otherwise I get distracted.
Yeah, you see the different kinds of behavior that come in.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't have a choice of where you sit. It's just you're assigned a desk.
And there's politics in an office, you know. Someone gets a desk that you wanted.
Yeah.
Or their desk is more interesting. Maybe they've decorated a little bit, personalized their space, and yours is boring.
Yeah, I can see it being fun for a day, but then...
Yeah, after that, it's just nightmarish. But look, I mean, in some ways, it's much better. They've done surveys that... productivity surveys, teamwork surveys, and these kinds of things. They found that open plan is actually the best way to go.
Mm.
And office designs where you have everybody in the open plan, including the boss, is usually a good thing. And then if there are meetings that need to be had, those can be had in separate rooms.
Okay. Well, some of these participants really did vent a lot of their frustrations because 2% of them said they would go as far as throwing things at their colleagues.
Ooh. That's when you know it's broken down pretty badly.
That they really are annoyed by their colleagues.
Ow.
70% of the participants say that they do not mix work and personal life at all. Mm. They do not care, nor do actually mingle with their colleagues outside of office hours.
Yeah, someone the other day said to me, she's just recently got engaged, and she said how her wedding guest list is growing and growing. Her husband now wants to invite people from work. And I said to her, that's the one thing I regret about my wedding guest list was having invited people from work.
Yeah.
Why?
You just, once they're taken out of, they feel like they're your friends at work, but once they're taken out of that situation and you feel a little bit differently, you can't really relax in front of them.
I hear what you're saying.
Also understand that our working environment is completely different where, you know,
now if you're it's
relaxed.
If you're in a bank or you're in an insurance company, you don't know who's going to sit next to you, and you might never get to know them because they might move in like a month's time.
Yeah. Don't waste your wedding invites on them, really.
But, yeah, I mean, look, we're a small team here, so it's completely different.
Mm.
But if you're in a big corporation or in a call center, I mean, that's just frightening.
Oh, I would rather use a cactus as a toothbrush.
Yeah. It's hard, huh?
That would kill me.
And now we've got a lot of those call center type environments in South Africa. It's a very, very difficult place to get your head around. It's like a hive.
Mm.
That's what it is.
And then lastly, on the other side of the scale of the people who draw the line with their colleagues, 10% of people admitted to having relationships in the office despite their HR policies.
That happens way more than people admit.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people manage to keep it secret for years, and other people just, they can't hide it. And then one of them has to resign, especially if there's a power relationship. Like, let's say she's the boss, and he works for her.
Mm-hmm. I had an affair with my boss.
What?
Mm.
Oh, you have... lived, girl? When did this happen?
Well, I'm not telling you because you'll figure out who the boss was.
Okay, wait. How? And you say just affair.
Go, say that again.
You need the cigarettes. You have lived. You have seen things. You have done things.
Yeah.
And you say affair. So who was in the relationship?
He was married. I was divorced. And I must say, it's quite exciting going into his office and he closes the door behind him type thing.
Oh, good for you.
Going to the Christmas party, looking at each other from across the table, meeting up in the bathroom for a snog.
Oh, how did you?
How long did this last?
Until he farted while we were having sex.
Surprise!
It was a big surprise. He said, did you hear that? And I said, no.
How did you call it off? Because you still work together. Oh, that's awkward.
Someone says here, I
think I've blocked a lot of it out. I don't remember.
Someone says, I work in an open plan concrete glass building. It's modern, but it's noisy as hell and people don't have office etiquette.
Mm.
See, that is the only thing about the open plan situation that's immediately a problem, is that if you need to make a call and it needs to be quiet, it's impossible to do that in an open plan office.
Mm.
But if you have those sort of meeting rooms off to the side, you can always go and do it in there.
You know, and also we forget that a lot of people use shared office spaces or shared working spaces now, like Perch, for instance, P-E-R-C-H, where you can rent a shared space.
Yeah, a lot of people do
that
this.
That happens a lot now.
I know that there's some buildings right up the street here from us where,
yeah,
you know, you have
the
these shared
exchange.
Office spaces. Yeah, people like it. And then you get a whole lot of different businesses in the same building and they all kind of get together at lunchtime and people share ideas. And it's a very cool idea. Whether or not it actually works is still out. The jury's still out on that. But, there are different ways to do this. Is there an immediate way that you can think of that your office environment would be improved? Like plants. You know, we had the guys from Lifestyle Home and Garden in here a while ago, and they brought in a whole bunch of plants. That definitely improved the place.
Mm.
The coffee machine. Mm. Coffee is a great, like, escape for people who just want to break away from each other for a little bit.
Or a great point for people who do want to make conversation.
Yeah, yeah, the coffee Sometimes machine out. Is where it happens. And where do you eat? I mean, can you eat at your desk? Because for some people, that's awkward, because they've got all their work stuff around there, and they've got colleagues around them. I don't like to eat in the middle of other people throwing papers at each other and taking phone calls and things. That kind of thing you just quietly do on your own.
Mm.
I mean, do you go to the kitchen for that? Where can you, if you found out that you had dog shit on your foot,
ugh,
underneath on your shoe?
In this office, I'd share that. Guys, look! Look what I stepped into.
But in some offices, it would be a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and bathrooms, I mean, office bathrooms, there is a world of problems that comes from that. We know because we've spoken about our own bathroom so many times, and we're a smallish team. There's not a lot of people here. So Leighton says, I've fucked people at work. It gets complicated quickly, though, because of the level of contact. The one person I'm dating at the moment, she doesn't work there anymore, though. Lol. Win. So that's Leighton. I love Leanne's stories, says someone else. You never know what you'll hear from her.
Oh, yes.
And she's not making any of this up, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I even surprise myself sometimes.
Food at school. This is from B in Cape Town.
Yeah.
At primary school, I had a fellow student who enjoyed icing cake on bread buns. Yep, the icing of a cake. One day we were working on our little blackboards, on our laps sitting in a circle. His tummy turned and me, being his neighbor, received the pink icing vomit on my pants and on my blackboard. That's the day the friendship ended. Matthew says, I'm in an open plan office, and when you go for a dump, your work colleague shouts out loud, did you spray?
Oh, no.
Our office rule is no meat in the microwave. Oh. Some think it's fine to heat up last night's tripe.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Ooh,
tripe's got a special smell, hey?
I agree with the people in the survey, says somebody else. I hate open plan offices. I love the people I work with, but one of the ladies is so negative all the time. She doesn't keep her thoughts to herself, so it irritates the living shit out of the rest of us.
My ex-husband worked with someone at an open plan desk, and she would eat popcorn every day, but one kernel at a time.
Oh.
So it would be like...
Oh, man.
And he would have to leave.
That's amazing.
Or right, so he would have to murder her. This is how the killer's born.
Killer. Killer.
All right, some other stuff that's going on that we need to know about. First things first, a 28-year-old man cracked his neck and gave himself a stroke. So how did this happen?
By cracking your neck, we don't mean that he had an accident. It's when you do the chiropractor thing and you,
you just
crack, click, click, like you're doing your knuckles.
Mm-hmm. Hate it.
Yeah.
He gave himself a stroke?
He did. He,
Oh my God.
He said the moment I heard the pop, everything on my left side started to go numb. I got up and tried to get an ice pack from the fridge, and I remember I couldn't walk straight. His father-in-law took him to the emergency room, where doctors found that he was very lucky. He could have formed more clot on that tear and have a life-ending stroke. He could have died. This was Dr. Vance McCollum, who has some advice.
All right, what's the advice?
If you want to pop your neck, just kind of pop it to the side. Don't twist it, he says.
Yeah, you got to be careful, kids.
I'm surprised this is even advisable.
You know, exactly. I don't like this doctor.
Yeah?
He says, whenever you twist, there's a risk of tearing that vessel. He says, I suspect he just turned it real sharp and up and back. That's what really pinched it.
Did your neck just get sore?
It's all just making me tense. Cringy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes you then think, well, when I go to the chiropractor, do they know what they're doing?
Well, absolutely. They studied for it. But we haven't. And people who do that, that's my concern all the time.
Have you ever sat opposite someone in office, an open plan office, or you've been on public transport with them or in an aeroplane or whatever, and they click all their joints and all their knuckles. And they click, 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 click.
And some people do it without realizing they're doing it.
They take their head in both their hands and they pull it to the side and it goes click.
It's that last one that creeps me out so much.
The neck thing.
I don't.
Have you been to a chiropractor?
No. I refuse.
It's actually amazing.
I know it's a weird reason, but I watched Miss and Mrs. Smith during my formative years, the movie with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, and Angelina kills one of the criminals like that.
She just twists his neck.
Ever since then, I've always said, what if I end up, you know, trying to crack my neck and I kill myself?
So listen, I mean, we got to move on. We love, connecting with our friends and being able to check in on their lives on social media, but we hate Facebook, right? We don't like Mark Zuckerberg. He's a creep. Apparently, he's just banned a whole lot of people who he thinks he doesn't agree with politically off of Facebook. They did a major purge last night.
Like the company banned people.
Let me read you the story.
Mark personally doesn't agree with.
Well, of course, Mark doesn't agree with them. Mark is the God Emperor there. There's nothing Mark can't do. Let me quickly tell you this story so that you can figure it out. The Washington Post has said that far-right leaders like Louis Farrakhan, I didn't know he was far-right, but okay, Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, have all been banned from Facebook for being dangerous, in inverted commas. So they've
just
done
because they're far-right?
Okay. I mean, these are not, they talk a lot of shit, these people, but they're not dangerous. Anyway, they've been banned. But the reason I bring up Facebook is they've got a new feature called Secret Crush that matches users who share a mutual attraction.
Oh, here they are getting even more involved in our lives.
Exactly. Listen to this.
We're also introducing something called Secret Crush.
Is this Mark Zuckerberg's wife?
I don't know.
No, I don't think Priscilla's involved in the company. Okay.
Secret Crush. Okay. Secret Crush lets you create a private list of friends that you might be interested in. And if your friend also puts you on their list, you'll match.
Why are you cheering?
If not, no problem. C'est la vie. No one will know who's on your list or even that you've opted into Facebook dating.
Okay, so here it comes. Facebook dating. Are you ready? You're going to be able to create a secret list of people who you find attractive. Okay? You're going to put them in your list. They're going to put you in theirs. And then Facebook will tell you both, ah, there's a match. It's like Tinder, I suppose.
Yeah. You'll only know if you match.
Bastards.
Oh. Sure.
I think this is so dangerous.
On what grounds?
Well, isn't Facebook in some ways responsible for more breakups than almost anything else? Facebook, Instagram. These are things that people are... they're finding ways to have relationships they shouldn't be having. You know what I mean?
So they Facebook says it won't use... how do we know? Data collected from the Secret Crush feature for content advertising or its newsfeed algorithm. So that means that if you add some hottie to your list, you won't be bombarded with their selfies, check-ins, or status updates.
Well, apparently Colombia, Mexico, Thailand, Argentina, and Canada are already live. South Africa's not on the list yet, so we won't get it for a little while. But the US is only going online in the end of the year. With their Facebook dating. So don't get too excited, but it is on the way, apparently. So how it works is that you'll create this list, so you'll put all the people that you want on there.
Mm-hmm.
The people you think are attractive. I mean, it could be harmless.
Of course, finding a romantic partner is intensely personal. So we've built Facebook dating to be safe, opt-in, and inclusive. Your dating profile is separate from your main profile, and your activity there is only visible to other people who have opted in.
Hmm. Well, with that accent, she sells it so easily.
Yeah, I didn't realize she was French until halfway through, and then I'm like, oh, well, it is perfect to have a French woman to discuss the dating app.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a dating app separate from your profile. Thank God, because, I mean, like, people go on your profile to check work stuff, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think of this? Out of 10, would you rate it 10 is dangerous, 1 is completely harmless, 5 is probably where I'm putting it.
Yeah, me too. Could be both. I'm with you on that.
It could be both.
Imagine don't trust Facebook
anymore. You create your dating list, and then you find out that you're on your boss's dating list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be Leanne.
I'll just do it the old-fashioned way.
Wow, isn't this interesting?
More than, yes, the obvious things like, do you think Facebook is lying to us? They will use the data.
Of course they will.
But I just foresee awkward moments here, as I assume also happen in Tinder. What if you tick someone's name by mistake?
Oh.
And then only to find out that you were actually on their list. Now you're like, how do I back out?
So
and then
weird.
They have a random idea of me. And more so, Facebook, so you know them personally. Oh, it's going to be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Rather not.
Someone who's been a family friend for years, and suddenly you find out that, there's a match.
Uncle Peggy actually looks at you like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it could also be beautiful, because you might find out that there's this long-lasting love affair, and someone has just never told you. Then you find out, and you think, well, actually, I think they're kind of cute, too, and then you end up together.
Right.
That could be beautiful.
Okay.
Let's see how it goes, humans. Are you ready?
It's all in your hands.
That lizard Zuckerberg is finding new ways to make us do stuff.
Yeah.
He's probably salivating just looking at the data roll as we speak.
Can't wait for humans to try a new dating app.
But my heart is getting a bit warmer for Mark as per the post
Why?
He uploaded a couple of days ago.
What did he put up?
He built his wife a box. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
To put her in, to send her back to China?
No. So I'm paraphrasing
here. She could stand up in it. I mean,
it's fine. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he uploaded onto his Instagram. He says that often his wife loses sleep because of, you know, when she wakes up in the middle of the night and she'll look at the watch and she'll panic about, the kids are about to wake up. That means I can't go back to sleep, or I wonder if the kids need me.
Oh, please. They've got 15 nannies running around, billionaires like that, complaining about how hard life is and how normal they are. Oh, please.
So then he says, based on that, he decided to build his wife this light box. And in when she first falls asleep, so early evening, it's quite a warm light glow as opposed to a brighter light, which symbolizes when she's actually meant to wake up. So she says, you know, he says that, you know, he built this because he's worried about his wife and is concerned about her and her sleep.
I wish I had 17 extra hours a day to build a fucking light box.
And on top of that, he says, I'm putting this out there for any entrepreneur to use and manufacture this because he won't.
You're on your own here.
You think that's sweet, do you? Well, we better test his blood alcohol
level. I have to use the fucking sun for that, you know?
Exactly. That's how I know I'm late.
Okay, Mark Zuckerberg.
Stop it. You know he's a lizard. Stop it.
Delete my words a few seconds ago.
All right. You want to know how AI, artificial intelligence, is changing our world? I am so tired of hearing people talk about AI just to cover their backsides. They talk about it because they know that it's coming, and in certain businesses it's coming faster than in others. And mm-hmm. They just don't know very much more about it. So they introduce the word artificial and intelligence into their conversations so that they'll sound clever.
Mm-hmm.
That is artificial intelligence.
That is. It's not real.
Yeah, you're creating an artificial impression of intelligence. So stop it, all right? But here is how AI is going to change the way we work.
Artificial intelligence is reshaping nearly every way in which we work. Some aspects of business, like human resources, marketing, and customer service, are already in these early transformative stages. But the drones and driverless cars that will revolutionize supply chains and business models still belong to a relatively distant future. Despite AI's potential, only 12% of organizations used it last year in some way.
So only 12% of organizations have used it so far. So everybody just calm down.
Mm.
We've got a long way to go according to this, right? Hang on, there's more.
According to an Adobe survey of 13,000 professionals. But an additional 30% planned on employing it within 12 months. Embracing emergent technology is not without risk. But those who take the chance now have the most to gain. Early adopters could potentially double their cash flow by 2030. That's because experimenting today might allow companies to create new products, find better business models, and help control the broader conversation. On the flip side, that same report predicts that companies that wait may see a 20% cash flow decline.
Huh.
If AI fundamentally reshapes how we work, it has the power to do so for better or worse.
Right. I mean, that's all fairly standard stuff, but it is interesting that you could increase your cash flow, and if you don't do it, it could decrease your cash flow by an enormous amount. And, you know, in business, this stuff is what makes it tick.
It's going to be as common as email eventually. You'll just have to have it.
You'll be speaking to machines. Machines will be speaking to you.
Yeah.
You'll be putting data into a database that will be figuring out stuff that you didn't even know, telling you about algorithms that could be adopted for processes within the business that could just change everything. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it doesn't mean that people become useless. You know, just because they invented the car doesn't mean that everyone who was driving the horse and buggy beforehand was suddenly sitting on the side of the road, whining and crying.
Yeah.
They found other jobs. People will find a way to be useful.
They became Uber drivers.
Well, yes, but much later.
Much later.
That's a wait 100 years. Oh, man. Do you ever use Uber Eats?
Yeah, I do sometimes. Mm. I go between Mr. Delivery and Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Whichever, because some they run different specials.
Oh, so you go with the specials, huh?
Sometimes. You know, you get these alerts saying free delivery tonight off of whatever, from whatever restaurant.
We're going to test our blood alcohol levels quickly. Is George coming in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's do this in the meantime. Let me just see that I haven't got any.
Uh-oh.
0.00.
Sure.
All right. So I've got no alcohol in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the legal blood alcohol limit for driving is less than 0.05.
Okay. Leanne's turn.
Oh, boy. I can't guarantee this will be zero, okay?
Did you have some to drink last
not
night?
Not this morning, no.
When it says blow, not now, just when it says... Okay, now go. Oh, my God, that's the alarm. What does it say?
It's just flashing.
No, it's busy, it's coming. 0.030.
Oh, my word.
You still have some in you.
What?
Yeah.
No, hold on. Maybe it's what I'm drinking now.
Okay.
I'm drinking Lucozade.
Okay.
Maybe it's the caffeine.
Right, see, when it says blow, then blow into there.
All right.
Point zero three zero. Okay.
Point zero three zero. Okay.
Is it saying blow yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah, there we go.
Uh-oh.
See, I didn't go beep. You're also zero.
Yeah.
Leanne, you're drunk.
It's impossible. I went to bed at like 9.
Maybe you have a constant blood alcohol.
You know what? You have a point. Because I do have like...
Maybe.
Blood sugar level issues and thyroid issues.
Diabetes?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Well, when George comes in, we'll test him as well. But there we go. So only one who shows up any blood alcohol is Leanne at this point. We'll have a
I'm reading the ingredients on my drink.
Yeah, this is confusing, though. So they say the legal limit is a breath alcohol content.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we just did?
Yes.
Breath alcohol or blood alcohol limit?
Well, breath alcohol, blood alcohol.
Listen, there are a couple of warnings on this drink that I'm drinking.
That's
what does it say?
The one says it contains Sunset Yellow and Ponso 4R.
Yes, God, you're going to die.
May have an adverse effect on activity and attention in children.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, well, it can make you hyper. That's why it's an energy drink.
I thought it was just vitamins.
What's that, Poncho? Poncho Vila?
Ponso. P-O-N-C-E-A-U.
What is that even?
Wow, that sounds dodgy. Wow.
Okay, you're just trying to justify.
All right, Gareth, I don't know much about Alex Jones, other than him being on a Joe Rogan podcast earlier this year. That podcast was almost 5 hours long, and he has over 13 million views. My mind was blown. I'm more into conspiracy theories than Ben Karpinski is. Just makes you think. I believe all the crazy stuff Alex says is happening just due to the fact that all the social media sites are blocking him. Maybe he knows too much. That's Clint from the Val.
Uh-oh.
Alex Jones is banned from Facebook. No one is surprised about Ass getting a reading. I love that. That's late. Yeah, so I got this little machine. Someone brought it here, the guys who make it, and they said to me, do you want to, you know, try it out? And I thought, yeah, sure. So it's a very simple thing. It's probably about the size of one of those old Nokias. So it's like a little cell phone.
Yeah.
It's got one button, which is the on and off. And then you blow into the side and it reads whether or not there's alcohol in your breath.
Hmm. So now, are we doing the hot cross bun test?
This one, by the way, is made by AlcoScan. And it's called the ALC-1. AlcoScan. All right, let's try with a hot crust bun and see if it goes anywhere else.
Okay.
And how soon after eating it are you supposed to measure?
You go first, Deanne. Help yourself.
I'll get
the machine ready.
There is no point.
For you, there is. All right, so Leanne's going to have a normal hot crust bun.
Ooh, they're the extra spicy ones.
Oh, that's bad news. All right, so have a little bit of that. See, I have some of this. And then we'll all do a little test again.
Okay. Let's see.
All right. Mm. So this is what apparently... Here, George, grab a hot crust bun.
Mm.
Oh, we first have to test that you don't have any on you at the moment, any alcohol. So let me just start this up for George.
George, to give you some background, mine came up positive.
I was listening. 0.030.
Now, what's the limit that you're meant to be?
I think 0.015.
Oh, really?
Or 0.02. Or something. But you're definitely over the limit.
Alright, let's do this. George, when it says blow, then you blow into that thing. Okay? Until you hear a sound. Okay. Busy figuring it out. 0.00 for George. Alright. George, grab a hot crust.
Also not surprised there.
All right, Ash, do you want to try this?
Oh, hold on. It'll end up full of hot cross bun. Give me a moment.
Are you meant to finish the whole
go up.
Bun or not?
No, you just have a little bit.
Uh-huh. Oh, hold on.
But it says blow now. Oh, my God. She's over the limit again.
Mm-hmm. It's calculating. It's gone up. 0.048.
Strange. All right, so it works.
Yeah.
And it works very quickly.
Yeah.
You try. All right. Sia's going to do the same.
Breath alcohol content of 0.024 per 1,000 milliliters.
My God, you shouldn't be able to drive.
I think it's something to do with my
That's breath alcohol. Blood alcohol, 0.05 grams per 100 milliliters. So breath alcohol is 0.024.
Okay, so it's still... Okay, then she's fine. Then she's in the clear.
Mine went up by 0.013.
No, she's over. Breath alcohol, 0.024. She was 0.03.
So already, actually, without the hot...
No, I lie.
No, I'm leaving she's 0.24, yeah.
Yeah, 0.24 is the...
Left out a decimal.
Yeah,
I left
no, it's 0.0, so it's like nothing, really.
All right, let me try. Mm. And then we've tested. So it definitely made Sia and Leanne's blood alcohol, or breath alcohol limit, go up.
Yeah.
reading, rather, not limit. So now we'll try mine, and let's see if this works 3 out of 3.
Ooh.
Okay, let's have a look. It's busy calculating. No, still 0 for me.
Yours is still
you
0?
You see, metabolisms are different, and it really...
It's very... listen, this thing's fairly accurate. George, last one.
That's surprising.
George has eaten a lot of hot cross buns.
Nice hot cross buns, by the way.
Oh.
Extra spicy.
George does this like a professional. I think you've done a lot of...
Many.
Yeah. 0 ethylizer. 0, you see?
So how come mine...
Yeah, ours went up.
Hmm. No, I don't want to overthink it. Okay.
God hates you. All right, well, there we are. Cross buns. Mm. There we go. We'll test this later with champagne. We've got a little breakfast here to, you know... celebrate our 5th birthday, and then we'll see if it makes any difference after that.
I'm ready for a mimosa without the orange juice.
A mimosa, Sia.
Yeah,
all right.
Two brilliant drinks on their own. Why mix them?
Here's George, and we've got George in here every Friday. It's one of the reasons we love Fridays, because when George comes in, we know the weekend's upon us. But we've also got a chance to catch up on some of the lifestyle of motoring, some of the stories about cars going on in the world. It's the place to stop by and start your weekend. All right, what do we got?
Fuel price increase. Vomit. But more importantly, besides this fuel price increase of about 52 cents per litre,
yep.
What is the effect on the economy? What are people going to do? What do you think?
Cry.
Cry is one of them.
Scream.
Scream.
Moan.
Moan.
Leave the country.
Move to Perth.
Move to Perth.
Did we cover all of them?
You covered the ones I don't have. But the manufacturers are likely to see the pinch of the manufacturers of cars, because what's going to happen? People are going to drive less and hold onto their cars. So car sales are going to probably decline.
Usually indicative of a general downturn in the economy.
Yes.
We always look at new car prices as a big indicator of whether or not people have money.
Exactly. And then another potential or likely thing to happen is that banks will feel the pinch, because as people hold onto their cars and not buy other cars and try and drive less, because their cost of living has gone up, banks won't see the number of deals done.
Mm. Yeah, look, this thing has long and far-reaching implications. If you consider that an increase in the fuel price increases the price of just about everything else by a certain percentage, and when it's a big increase, and we've had how many already this year? Probably about 3?
It was 1 a month.
Is it
January, February, somewhere. March? This will be April. three or four.
This is terrible, terrible news for the South African consumer. A lot of it has to do with the price of oil. A lot of it has to do with international trade, the dollar, the rand. But essentially, a lot of it is also the government and their fuel levy.
Their fuel levy is a big
part. It's a massive part of the petrol price. And I do think if government are intent on giving this economy a bit of a kick start, they should think very seriously about dropping the fuel levy.
I think they should, because I mean, besides the other impacts, one of the impacts of an increasing fuel price is lower tax revenue collection, because people are going to drive less, which means they're going to fill up less, which means that the 77.5 billion rand in revenue from fuel levy that has been predicted for 2019 ain't going to come into the coffers.
No, because people will be using less petrol. I mean, I've been talking about this, and it sounds like I'm just procrastinating, but I am going to get rid of my car. It's diesel, it's not petrol, which isn't going up this month, but every other month it has.
Mm, it's heavy on it still, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no. It's a
like
gas
guzzler. How much
guzzler.
Does it cost you to fill up your tank?
Almost R1,000. Mm. And I'm doing that weekly.
I think mine's about R400,000 or something.
I'm going to get a much cheaper car. I'm going to get one of those cars that is extremely fuel efficient.
Hybrid.
I think that's the way I'm thinking of going, but we don't really have much infrastructure when it comes to...
No, but the hybrid charges itself.
I know, but still.
I don't think we have load shedding.
Do we have nice hybrids?
Well, yes, I think we do. The new Nissan Leaf's a full electric car. That looks nice.
Yeah.
The previous Nissan Leaf looked like...
Horrible.
It was horrible. The Hondas are nice.
Are they
nice
very expensive
car.
To buy?
No more expensive than what you're driving now.
Okay. Yeah. Then it's time. All right. Well, watch this space. I'll keep you informed. Good. All right. What else?
And last but not least is the impact on filling station owners or the franchise itself, because these guys have a very thin margin on fuel, and if the volumes drop, often that filling station makes a loss, and they have to rely more and more on the retail store or the shop to generate a profit, which means that in order for them to make ends meet, they have to push up the prices in that shop.
Right. Oh, you know what? Just really, it's so unfortunate that the petrol price is going up again. And I do sympathize with all of us, because all of us are affected by it. But what are we going to do?
Nothing.
You just got to deal with it, right? You just got to absorb it and move on. All right, what else is going on?
So, more excitingly, do you remember the BMW 333i?
Oh, of course.
Yes, that great old BMW. Yes. Yeah, the original shape, that you still see them around.
Yeah, so this particular model, the 333i, was only for South Africa.
You're joking?
No.
Didn't happen anywhere else?
Never happened anywhere else. And built by South Africans. And the reason why it was only in South Africa was because Germany never sent us the M3 in that shape.
Huh.
You know the M3?
Mm.
We didn't get the M3. So we took it upon ourselves to put a 3.3-liter engine in that BMW and create a car that was as fast as the M3.
So we basically we made our own version.
Our own version of the M3, which was called the 333i.
Wow.
I used to have a 325i.
Yes, same shape.
Yes. And my ex-husband sold it without me knowing. It was my grandmother's.
And
it had 20,000 Ks on the clock only.
Was it in the South?
Yes.
You had it in the South?
It was born in the South.
And you would you drag race with other ice?
No, but every petrol station we went to, we couldn't leave because everyone was just staring at it and saying, can I buy it?
It was such a great car.
Yeah, I had the 325.
I loved the 325 IS.
Yeah.
That was classic with the sports finishes. Right.
And that IS, that it was called the Shadowline.
Yes, that's right.
It was also only in South Africa.
Really?
Yes.
If you had that car in the South, you'd made it. Yeah.
You were a big deal. You were like really important and popular.
Yeah.
Right.
And then another very popular South African car that South Africans like is the Ford Raptor. Do you know the Ford Raptor?
It's Bucky.
The Bucky, yes, the double cab Ford Raptor,
mm-hmm.
and American mid-sized Bucky. But this particular Ford Raptor in South Africa had a strengthened chassis and is the most capable 4x4 on the market.
A strengthened chassis, but it's all I think about sometimes. How about you, Leanne? Do you like a strengthened chassis?
Sounds about right.
That sounds like something I've got.
All right, so those are cars that no one else in the world had.
Yeah, there were modifications to them that was really cool. South African,
right.
or only done in South Africa, should I say?
Okay.
And then one car that every South African loved, the VW City Golf.
City Golf. So like the classic two-tone where it was like blue at the top and had a white bumper or red.
I remember those. Those ones. And
red, yellow, blue. No green.
That's right. And it had city written
buy
on the side.
Buy one for him, buy one for you.
Red, yellow. There was an ad.
And then they came out with the pink one.
Yes. Believe it or not, this car graced our roads for 7.5 generations.
That is amazing.
Seven and a half.
Seven and a half.
No.
Decades.
Decades. I was going to say generations. Holy shit.
And then came to an end abruptly in 2009.
Here's the 1984 commercial that Leanne was talking about, CSE. So you know that we're not making it up. All right, listen to this.
Red, yellow, blue. Not green. Red, yellow, blue. Shiny and new. Red, yellow, blue. Buy one for him. Buy one for you. Red, yellow, blue. Red, yellow, blue.
Oh my god, right, there it is.
Blue, yellow, red, could it be true? Dooby dooby doo. Red, yellow, blue.
No green.
This one's for you.
How fantastic.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm alive in the 2000s and not whatever time that was.
1984.
Pew pew.
Do you know why they stopped making that car?
Because it had a shit commercial.
Because it didn't have the crumple zones that it needed, and
like a box,
and the bonnet was very dangerous.
Which is basically smashing, crush people to death. Yes.
If you bashed into something with that car, you'd bounce off of it and fly backwards. I know because I had a city shuttle.
Yeah.
And on my 18th birthday, I was driving it. Which probably wasn't a good idea because I had about 18 some bookers as well.
Oh my god!
But
which is still in your system.
I decided to stop the car and park it, and then I hid from a friend of mine to pretend that I was already outside the car. In the meantime, I rolled into another car without noticing while my head was down. So let's just say red nail varnish came in handy before the next morning.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
And then Jaguar Land Rover might just invent something. They're busy researching it that could stop you from getting sick in your car. You'll know about this, Gareth. A UVC light. They use it in water.
Yes.
To kill the bacteria.
Uh-huh.
And they're busy researching a UVC light that would be inside the car to kill any bugs.
Well, I had this conversation with Spike, who's one of our producers here. He's the production manager, and he said to me, that's bullshit, that you need UV light on its own. Spike, UV light on its own doesn't kill anything, right? This is what he told me, and he said, that's absolute nonsense. Oh. UV light, you need to still, in order to make it effective, you need to kill the things with alcohol first.
Morning, G.
Morning.
From what I understand, yes, you need to. It's not just good enough to shine a UV light on something. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're trying to kill needs to be lanced with ethyl alcohol or something, and then the UV light kills it.
So if I breathe on it,
maybe they'll be spraying alcohol into the car.
There we go. So get
Leanne breathes on it, and then you use UV.
They're sorted. Well, yeah.
Do you know how sterile my esophagus is?
Yeah, there's nothing living there.
Imagine the breathalyzers.
Not for 500 years. Or after you're dead for another 500 years.
No embalming necessary.
But any time the police try to breathalyze anyone in your grave, it'll go off really bad. All right, so.
And then Ford has prototyped a self-braking shopping cart.
What? Oh, to go into the back of your car.
Yeah, so the shopping cart won't be able to go into anybody's car.
How will it know to break?
So they're building the same technology that is in the Ford that applies a brake when the sensor senses something near it.
Okay. Because shopping trolleys often go into the back of cars, and even people who are just offloading their shopping trolley, they sometimes bump into the back of their own car, and sometimes it leaves a mark, and you have to get that panel beaten or repainted, and it's a pain.
I went to Cape Town a few years ago, parked my car in the parking lot, came back, and there was a big ding in the side of my door, which wasn't another car because the ding was about that big only, and it could have only been a shopping cart because the height was the right height.
How irritating.
Well, I just got the vision of kids waiting for their parents in the shopping center, getting bored and going,
Let's get into the trolleys.
Let's have quicker breaks.
Right.
That's, yeah, that will definitely happen.
So, George, quickly for you, I believe yesterday was 15 years at Auto Trader for you.
Yes.
Happy!
Wow. Thank you.
So, lots of anniversaries this week, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's an incredible, it's amazing that the place has been able to hold on to you for 15 years and that you've been able to keep doing what you're doing so well. After 15 years, it's amazing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
that.
I have one final story.
Yes, go on.
A lot of people in South Africa live in estates.
Yes, they do.
Yes. So some resident, his daughter, got a speeding fine and was fined by the estate 3,000 rand.
Yes.
Took it to court, and the first judge said that this fine is illegal because the estate is trying to impose speed limits on a public road. The estate then appealed and won the case, and it turned out that speeding limits and fines are now very valid inside estates.
Hmm. Okay, so this is important. This is precedent. They've obviously spent a lot of money getting this all the way there. But if you speed inside an estate, you can be fined by the estate.
Homeowners Association.
Right, yeah. And then they can make you pay.
Sure, that's a way of making money. Make the speed limit 10 all over.
They can enforce it with the law. So you've got to drive slowly in these places. All right, very good. Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
That is it for this Friday morning. We'll be back on Monday. Hopefully, I will not have any more coughing and splurting and carrying on. And we will see you then. Have an excellent weekend. CliffCentral.com. Keep an eye on social media. We've got a little breakfast for some of the people here. It's really the team and one or two of the people who've been with us from the very beginning. But, of course, the celebration has everybody here, even if it's in lieu of you being physically present. We're just delighted that you're part of this whole story of ours. Five years down.
We also have the interview coming up that everyone, well, a lot of people have been waiting for.
Yes.
Your interview with Prince Mangosuthu
Buthelezi, who is the leader of the IFP. He actually spoke to me about 3 days before he lost his wife.
Mm.
She died just a short while ago, and we decided we'd hold the interview for a little bit, but it is today. So you get to hear the leader of the IFP. He's in his 90s, by the way.
Wow.
And the man is extraordinarily vigorous and full of ideas, and he's got a sense of humor, and he loves to talk about things like history, his own meetings with all the people. I mean, there is pretty much no one in South African politics of any consequence in the last 60 to 70 years that Mangosuthu Buthelezi has not interacted with at some point. And you'll get to hear all about it.
He actually couldn't stop talking because the interview is 90 minutes long.
So, yeah, we tried to keep him longer, but eventually his manager and his diary people, and they were all saying, listen, we've got to get you out of here. It's enough already. But it was terrific. So you can listen to that next, right here on CliffCentral.com. Have a good weekend.
This is CliffCentral.com.